Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Who would by now be recognized as common law married in at least 8 states, John and Lance, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our Astros, they lose 3 out of 4. They're just 2 games back, though. The Rangers had a disastrous. The Rangers go to the Nationals and get slapped around by the when you're getting slapped around by the Nationals, after you got slapped around by the Astros, after you got slapped to who was in between, whoever, they've been taking it on the chin. The Rangers have a little bit. They've got a, you know, they were riding way too high. They're not that good. You're not that good, Rangers, especially without Jacob DeGrom. You're just not that good. So they came back down to earth a little bit. Seattle is still Seattle. They've got some issues there. They look pretty good this weekend. The pitching staff looked pretty damn good shutting down the Astros. Boy, when the Astros just shut it down, it is just – it's so unbelievable. They scored 2 in the first, and then they didn't score again until Maldi's homer in the 8th. And they didn't have a hit again until Maldi's homer in the 8th. And then that's yesterday, the only thing – if Maldonado's providing all your offense – you're in a little bit of trouble. That's all I'm saying. But you got a great start from Fromber. And Fromber came out afterwards and said, listen, if I'm not starting in the I deserve it. I've got the best ERA in the league. I deserve to start. I don't even want to be there. Dusty, on the other hand, had this to say. They bumped Fromber back a couple of days. And you're wondering, why did they do that? Here's Dusty talking about having to protect Fromber.
Whatever Framber told you, he got it from me, you know, so, he's not pitching at this point. Cole pitched yesterday, and he's not big and pitching. Gosman pitched yesterday, and he's not pitching. And, you know, we can't risk Framber on 2 or 3 days rest, you know, for an exhibition game. I know it's important, but our season is far more important than an All-Star game. It's a tremendous honor to maybe start, but you know, if he keeps pitching in on the route he's in, he'll have 3 or 4 opportunities to start in the future. So right now we got to take care of Framber.
Thank you. I love that answer, and it really does show you, John. I know we kind of surmised that maybe he did bump him back intentionally. I think for sure he did now. I think he absolutely knew what he was doing. He was keeping Fromber out of the All-Star game.
Yeah, no, I don't think – and Fromber might not be happy about it. Listen, it was a good experience for him last year. First Astros pitcher to get a win in an All-Star game. You know, his first All-Star appearance, it was pretty exciting for him and all of that stuff. He got his hair braided. I mean, he was really excited about it. When you get your hair braided for an event, you're really, really excited to be there. So I'm sure he was excited. Now, you know, hopefully it's a little bit of old hat, but it's not for him. It's still important to him. And you don't know, though, you know, Dusty says he's going to have a chance to be starting 4th. You don't know that. You don't know that you're going to – I mean, look at Javier this year. We thought he was the favorite for the Cy Young, one of the favorites for the Cy Young, and he's just collapsed. You have no idea what's going to happen in the future. It's kind of a shame that Fromber isn't going to be able to, because these opportunities aren't going to always be there. So we'll see. Maybe in at some point he's going to hold it against Dusty. And I don't think he's going to take it out on him by throwing games in the second half of the season. I'm hoping that's not going to be the case, that he's going to be that pissed off at Dusty. But you never know. You never know when guys are going to be able to get a chance to do this again. Oh, well, Fromber, we need you here. I certainly need you now that this team has had all of these injuries to this rotation and to the lineup. Kyle Tucker met with the media yesterday. He's an all-star. He will be there. Kyle Tucker met with the media, and he was asked about all the injuries and, you know, being where they are just two games back at Texas.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you don't want to see anyone get injured, whether it's, you know, on another team or our team. But, I mean, our division, we have, you know, a couple teams that are really good, and, you know, they're making – I mean, they came to win games, too, and make it to the playoffs. So we just got to keep fighting and not worry about other teams' records and stuff. We just got to come out and try and win as many games as we can in the second half.
Yeah, I think the Astros are in a position to be the team that, like, honestly, John, when you've gotten to the ALCS as often as they have, to the World Series as often as they have, we may sit here and, Dusty, Maldonado, what's going on with Bregman? We can do all that we want here. The fans can do it. Social media fans at a restaurant, a bar, whatever the case is. Do you get the sense the Astros have anybody on that team that's going to be like that? If there's one team that's not going to panic about anything or worry about how many games back or what's going on with the pitching staff, it's going to be all the Astros who have already been through, who've been like Kyle Tucker, have been through everything. Well, he hadn't been through everything, but he's been through a lot of it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I just feel like Kyle Tucker's been here forever. He wasn't part of that 17 team. It just feels like he's been, you know, just contributing forever. I'm glad that he was an alternate. Obviously, he didn't make the team, but as soon as Trout went down, he got to the All-Star team. He deserves it. Kyle Tucker has been great. Kyle Tucker is going to be highly paid. He is going to be one of the higher paid guys in the league. And, you know, I can't, while everybody is like, so many people don't understand this whole process, you know, why don't they sign Kyle Tucker? What are they doing? Why won't they give him the money that he wants? We need Kyle Tucker here. That ain't it. I mean, Kyle Tucker is playing the game the way that you can play the game, and that's get as much as you possibly can. Don't take a hometown discount like Yordan did, like Bregman did, like Altuve did, like Javier did, but paying off for Javier right now. Don't take a hometown discount. Get as much as you possibly can. Get to free agency. See what the market will bring you, and then go from there. He may resign with the Astros. But the Astros are not, they don't give out 10-year contracts. And maybe that's what Tucker's looking for, that long-term security. Kyle Tucker's going to be hitting in this league for a long time. He's that left-handed bat. He's got that sweet swing. It just doesn't seem like, I mean, there aren't a lot of holes in his game. He's a good defensive player. I could certainly see Kyle Tucker at the end of his career even maybe coming in and moving to first base or something, you know. Kyle Tucker is going to be around baseball for a long time, and Kyle Tucker is it's just not how it works. The Astros want to sign him. They wanted to give him a Yordan deal where he makes $100 million. They just can't. He won't. And I can't blame him. You get as much as you possibly can out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go a different way. I'd say, look, if I'm Kyle Tucker, this is what I would – John tells you to get as much as you can. This is what I would say. I would – maybe pay attention to how great the food scene is here. We have very mild winters. You get to play indoors during the summer. Houston is almost like a hometown to you now, and there is something called a hometown discount. We don't have state tax. Now, we do have pretty considerable property taxes, but you could always rent. You know, that's a concern. You don't have property taxes when you rent, do you? So I would tell Kyle Tucker to really think this thing through. Would you like the George Springer curse? Would you like the Carlos Correa curse? Would you like the Gerrit Cole curse? Would you like the curse of Justin Verlander? Is this something that interests you?
Yeah. I don't know that those guys are cursed per se. You know, Gerrit Cole being one of the best pitchers in the league. And
okay, show me all of his.
Justin Verlander making $86 million.
But he just doesn't know how to pitch anymore.
Yeah, I think he can still – he'll be okay.
I mean, if you want a losing record and an ERA over 3, go ahead. If you want to be Carlos Correa and hit like 230, go ahead.
Is he hitting 230?
Well, he's up higher than that, but still, not like he was with the Astros. So, you know, go ahead. Do those things. If you want to be like George Springer, he doesn't even live in this country anymore. Okay? He doesn't even live in the country. Remember when he couldn't even get back into Toronto? They couldn't even get back into Canada at one point.
Yeah, I don't think he Yeah, Carlos.
Remember when they had to play their games? You want to play games in Buffalo? Then go ahead. Do what you're doing right now. Go play in a minor league stadium at Buffalo somewhere, Kyle Tucker, or you sign this contract here, 6 years, $30 million
a year. Carlos is hitting .225 with a .700, exactly .700 OPS.
Does that sound like a curse? Sounds like a curse to me. If this is what you're interested in your life being, Kyle Tucker, then by all means, go take a bunch of money and never be relevant in baseball again. Or stay here, be relevant, and make $180 million over 6 years.
Well, there is that. There is the relevance of and playing in postseason games and, you know, people actually knowing where you are. Yeah, that's what happens here in Houston. It doesn't happen a lot in Toronto. It doesn't happen at all in Minnesota. Yeah, so, yeah, you're right about that. And certainly people know where Verlander is, but they're not going to in November. They're not going to know where Justin Verlander could be in Kentucky where there is no baseball because he's not in the postseason because he is irrelevant now. Yep, you're right. Relevance is important, especially in November. 713-780-3776 is the number on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The new in-season tournament has been announced, and who we play and who our division is, we will get to that.
I love that.
Side.
That was really cool looking through the group, see if there was a group of death. And I thought they're all balanced pretty well, to be honest.
They are balanced pretty well.
But that can change in 2 years, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk about it on the other side. But first, we're going to talk about, speaking of fair and balanced, John Daspit.
John Daspit is going to – no, he's not – let me tell you what. He's not balanced. He just says, I'm all for you. I'm not for the other guy at all. I'm not going to be balanced. I am strongly in favor of the clients that I have, and I'm going to work hard to make sure that they get what's coming to them. People who have been injured, a lot of them will reach out to other lawyers, and they find that the lawyers are either not successful or just want to get things settled really quickly and take a cut of your settlement. What John Daspit does is he goes out there and he does all of his homework, gets all the depositions done. Well, he and his lawyers. I mean, he's got 10 offices around the state of Texas and he's expanded to other states. But he's got a lot of great lawyers working for him. He came from Fulbright Jaworski himself. And what they do is they go through and they go with a fine-tooth comb over every bit of hospital bills that you have, your physical therapy, what your injury is, how long it's expected to last, because they want to make sure they cover everything before having you agree to a settlement. They want to get you a settlement that's fair. If you have been badly injured, there's a lot to consider there, depending on the injury. And that's why so many people from especially larger cases like refinery blasts, the offshore explosions, a lot of people who've been injured in multi-car pileups and even 18-wheeler accidents, they call John Daspit because he does better than anyone else for you when it comes to fighting for the client. Make sure that you call John Daspit at 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or just go to the website for more information at DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
Boy. Hey, I'm in love with the lights, the love, the rights, the wrongs. They told me that it wouldn't be night for long. The light, the love, the rights, the wrongs. They told me that it wouldn't be night for long.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Summer can be a little slow in the world of sports. So to speed things up a little bit, this is the Meth segment with John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Before we get to the in-season tournament, did you watch any of the soccer last night?
No, Canada versus USA. I totally forgot about it.
What a game. In extra time, Canada scores and the U.S. scores again with just in the final minutes of extra time. And then they win in PKs, and Turner was great and saved a couple, and then they hit the crossbar. It was really a good match. So
no, but I watched a lot of Wimbledon last night. Yesterday afternoon, the women's side had some incredible matches, incredible rallies too. I was, you know, Wimbledon's one of those things that, just tennis in general. Once I start watching, but Wimbledon especially, because you have these, you can really have some excellent rallies. Well, you're going to have better ones on clay, but on the women's side, where you're not going to have the same level of aces, the same amount of aces, you can get into some incredible rallies, and that's what we had yesterday. So, and good to see the U.S. men's national team is continuing to win too. I mean, that's good. Yeah. They are setting a tone for the next World Cup, it looks like.
Well, and they didn't even have any, you know, it was the Gold Cup. We're already in the World Cup, so it was the CONCACAF Gold Cup semis or quarters or semis, and whatever the case may be, we moved on and we did it without our best players, so that was awfully nice. Did you happen to see Svitolina and Azarenka?
That's what I watched. That's the women's match I watched. It was outstanding.
Well, and it was did you see at the end that they didn't shake hands?
Okay, I'm interested what you're going to say, because they gave full context on there. So Svitolina, Azarenka is from Belarus, which is Russia. Svitolinka is from Ukraine. Just so you know.
Yeah. So she's from the Ukraine, and before the match she said, "I'm not shaking hands with her afterwards."
She never does. She never. If you're from there, she will not shake your hand. It's a known thing.
Right. Well, she's Ukrainian, and I can't blame her. You invaded our country. I know you didn't do it, Azarenka, but your people did, and I want you to know that we don't like you. And, okay, now sports are supposed to be, a place where we forget about that stuff. We put politics aside. We play. But apparently, I don't know. It's awfully tough because
– Did you see what happens?
Ukraine is awful pissed off, and I can't blame him.
Did you see the what happened after the match? After the match, Svitolina, so Azarenka, who is from is Belarus, they're not even allowed to have Russia, Belarus. They can't have anything. They can't have their flag. They can't have where they're from. So for Svitolina, it said UKR next to her name, and there was a Ukrainian flag next to Azarenka on the just on the graphic. It didn't say anything on the right, and it had no flag, which I figured was that. So Belarus, Russia, they're not allowed to have any designation in tennis or I think soccer either. In soccer, I don't think they're allowed to play each other. So anyway, what happened was after the match was over, I said, this is going to be interesting. I didn't know that about Svitolina until later, that she refuses to shake hands with her opponents. Azarenka, I didn't know that. So Azarenka comes over, shakes the hand of the chair judge, which you're supposed to, and then she just kind of turns and gives a little brief hand wave to Svitolinka, and then Svitolinka goes and shakes the chair judge's hands. Well, people start to boo Azarenka a little bit. Then Azarenka just walks off the court, and you hear the boos really intensify after she gets her stuff and walks off the court. And then she does a sign like almost like my hands are tied or something. I didn't know what it meant at the time. And then the announcer started talking about, it's really a shame that the people here must not realize, as Svitolinka says, she will not shake anyone's hands. Like there was nothing Azarenka. They even said for her to even acknowledge Svitolina, like give her a little hand gesture to kind of say good game, is like a major gesture from Azarenka to try to, basically be to do something that's relatively friendly when Svitolina she's not going to have it. So she was seen by Wimbledon as the bad person, Azarenka, when really she was just like, I don't know how to tell you all this, but there ain't going to be any handshakes here. Yeah. It's not
well, Svitolina said, Svitolina said she specifically wouldn't shake hands with her because she's from Belarus. Right. Right. Well, I mean, that's a little, you know what? God says forgive, okay? Forgive others as we forgive those who trespass against us, so.
Well, then don't invade her country.
Well, yeah, and maybe Svitolina.
Maybe she'll forgive you once this whole thing is over.
The Lord's Prayer.
Maybe she'll forgive you when it's over.
Yeah, I don't know if they have the Lord's Prayer in the Ukraine. I don't know. But I do know that we forgive those who trespass against us. What did you think? I don't love that we're in the Nuggets division, if you want to know the truth.
All right, let's go through the list of teams.
Okay. The Rockets are in the same division. Makes sense. Dallas, okay. Makes sense. The Pellies, right? The Nuggets, I'm not thrilled about being in the Nuggets division. Now, the Nuggets are really successful recently, and I don't know. I think it's going to last a little while. They're going to be really, really good. But the Mavs, the Pellies, what, Memphis? Is Memphis the other team?
Yeah, I'm trying to find all the pods here.
Yeah.
Play-in pods.
NBA in season, it's called, not play-in.
Not play-in, I mean.
Yeah. Let's see. The groups here. I wasn't crazy about being in there. But you know what? There's going to be good teams in every single
here,
one.
Here it is.
So
it's the Clippers.
Okay,
it's
which
Clippers
one is the toughest? 50. Ready? Rank them on a scale of 1 to 5. 5 being the hardest. No, let's go 1 to 10. 10 being the hardest, 1 being the easiest. Philadelphia 76ers, Cleveland Cavaliers, Atlanta Hawks, Indiana Pacers, Pistons. That seems like it's got a little juice to it. I mean, but not a ton because you go Hawks. Well, Hawks are okay. Pacers, Pistons, although I would argue that Pacers might be getting better quicker.
Are we talking about historically or right now?
No, no, no. We're just talking obviously right now. Like, what do you think, RJ?
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a tough group to me. I mean, Philly, between Philly or Cleveland, I mean,
right,
that's really
obviously
like a two-man race. Yeah.
So you have two. You have two tough
Atlanta's
teams.
Atlanta's
going to
be a little bit better, though.
See how deep it goes when you say tough and weak. Detroit would be the weak team. But, you know, anytime you say weak team, there's a lot of teams that the weak teams are the ones drafting highest, too. Milwaukee Bucks, New York Knicks, Miami Heat, Washington Wizards, Charlotte Hornets. Obviously, Bucks and Heat, top two, and then Knicks, the third. That seems like a tougher one. Group C, Boston Celtics, Brooklyn Nets, Toronto Raptors, Chicago Bulls, Orlando Magic. At the time, I don't think it sounds too tough for Boston. However, I would argue that Orlando Magic is a come-up team very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Lot of talent over there in Orlando. Western Conference, Memphis, Phoenix, Lakers, Jazz, Blazers. Obviously, Memphis, Phoenix, and Lakers, that's pretty tough. Nuggets, Clippers, Pelicans, Mavericks, Rockets. That's a tough one. Yeah, you're right, John. This is one of the tougher ones, I think. Because if Zion plays basketball this year.
Well, I don't know. I think the West, the Grizz, the Suns, the Lakers, the Jazz, and Portland, that might be the toughest.
You think that's harder than Nuggets, Mavericks, Clippers, Pelicans? Rockets?
I mean, the Mavs, what have they done? The Pellies, they never have. Now, if Zion is healthy, if the Mavs can get it together a little bit, but we didn't see any signs with that twosome working. The Clippers, obviously, depending on James Harden, if James Harden goes to the Clippers, that makes it makes them better. I think it's got the possibility by the time this offseason is done to be the toughest one. Because first of all, you start with the Nuggets, and secondly, Zion, and third, James Harden there. We'll see what else the Mavs do. The Rockets are in a world of hurt in that division.
Yeah, do the groups stay the same always? I think it would be pretty cool if they can make some, you know, if they can change two teams from every group on an annual basis just to kind of balance it out. I think you should keep the groups the same, but you have a potential to make two teams. Like, I'm not sure there's a group of death necessarily, to use the soccer term, but I'd like to see where you can move one to two teams out of every group on an annual basis just to kind of change it. But I do think you want to – I mean, if you look at this, there is – well, Memphis and Phoenix are not regional, you know. Utah, Trailblazers, Lakers, Phoenix, that's all regional, but you didn't want the Lakers and Clippers in the same one. Nuggets, Clippers, Pelicans, Dallas, Houston, relatively regional. Sacramento, Golden State, but Minnesota Timberwolves, where else – there's just really nowhere you can put the T-Wolves. But this one, John, the Kings, the Warriors, the T-Wolves, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who you just raved about, and then San Antonio, who's got Wembanyama. Like, if this stays the same, if they don't change these groups at all, that one could be a brutal one.
Well, and listen to this. I mentioned Oklahoma City. If you weren't here a little bit earlier in the show, how young they are. They got Shea. They got Holmgren. They got a good young nuke. I mean, there's a building. Listen to this, Lance. Next year, three firsts, two unprotected. 2025, three firsts. We get three firsts next year and 2 seconds. 2025, three firsts, 3 seconds.
Yeah,
2026.
But you know, like I do, John, you can't. You've seen with the Rockets, you can't.
No, but
just
you can use that. You can use those assets.
Correct.
2026, three firsts, two unprotected, and 1 second. 2027, two firsts, one unprotected. That's, they've got 6, 9, 11 first rounders over the next 4 years. Holy crap. No, you're right. Listen, at some point, they're going to, just like the Rockets did, okay, yeah, we got Tari, we got Ty, not Tari, but we got Ty Ty, and we got Josh Christopher. We got all of these guys that gurus, I mean, we got all of these guys, but we can't be this young. We got to do something. We got to just, and eventually you're just going to have to go, whatever, just leave. But those unprotected picks, if they turn into big, you know, high, or they can move up, which is harder than the NBA because nobody wants to move down. The most NBA drafts are two or three players deep. So you really, at the top, you rarely see, not like the NFL where you'll move down. The Oklahoma City in the long run might be the best team in that group.
Yeah. They're going to be really tough.
It's going to take a little while.
If they draft effectively.
But look at the teams in that group. Golden State, what did they do? They drafted well and it all came together and now they're on a Houston Astros type run. The Kings, they drafted, they suck, and now all of a sudden, that's a pretty good basketball team. Oklahoma City, they're doing it the right way, I think. And if they hit on those picks, Oklahoma City has a chance. The Spurs, they get Wembanyama. Now guys are going to want to go play there now, and they might be able to fill in. But if they draft, you know, if they keep on drafting and doing things the right way, the Spurs are going to be a really good team. You're right. That group right there. The Golden State in 3 or 4 years might be the worst team in that group.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you have to, I mean, Steph is not going to be there. Clay's not going to be there. You're going to have to, yeah, we don't know what they're going to look like, who they're going to be. Real quick, let's get Stafford in here before we get to a break. Let's talk about his Rockets. What's up, Stafford?
Hey, man. What's going on? How y'all doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Good weekend.
Did you watch?
Man, I had a good weekend.
Did you watch the Summer League games?
It all weekend. Watch who?
Did you watch Summer League?
I watched the Summer League, man. Jabari, hey, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Jabari Smith was the best player on the team by the end of the season. I like the work ethic, the commitment that he's putting out there. He ain't ashamed to be out there in his second year. He refining his skills. He had a good battle with James Wiseman yesterday, uh-huh. You know, and I was impressed, man.
It's kind of wild to see Wiseman out in Summer League too, by the way. But, you know, it's a run, so get a run in.
Uh-huh. Get a run in. Get those repetitions. I wanted to ask y'all a question about one of the shows. They were talking about the NBA and viewership. Do you think that if the NBA put the teams on local TV, like how the Rockets used to be on WB39 when I was a kid, do you think that has a lot to do with the viewership? Because people, a lot of people just don't have cable. Maybe if you put the Rocket or all the NBA teams back on antenna channels, like the NFL, would they have that viewership problem? But I'm going to hang up and listen to that.
Yeah, that's a good one. What do you think the difference would be, John, for – because it is a little bit of a tricky situation. If you want to get Rockets basketball, you have to have, you know, Fox Sports Southwest or whatever it's called. Whatever it's called now. You have to have that available. If you had it on 39 or not 26 anymore, you used to have Astros games on 51. We had way back in the day, it was, you had Rockets were on channel 26 or 20 vision, channel 20. Do you think if they were on a quote unquote local station, that their viewership would be higher?
I think most people have an ability to get you know, to most people have the ability to get the sports platforms on cable. I just, you know, pay part of their sports package. I think most people have.
There are more people, though, who have access to channel, just for example, channel 39. There are more people who have access to channel 39 than the channel, for me, it's 674, but on DirecTV.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. And more people are moving away from cable television and going with,
That's what makes me wonder, the
YouTube
cutting.
TV or whatever it is, whatever choice that they have through there, and it's much easier to get to a channel 26. Yeah, I think so. But you know what? You lose that subscriptions. You lose those subscriptions. I'm not sure that's the best.
ESPN, as I mentioned, John,
model for teams.
ESPN is in 28 million fewer homes right now than they were 12 years ago.
Yeah.
28 million fewer homes ESPN is in right now than they were. I think the cord cutting could end up helping local television again, believe it or not. But the other thing is, I don't know if you saw this, because of some of these, you know, teams' rights where the teams or the broadcast partners are not going to carry them anymore and they're defaulting on, you know, they're going bankrupt and they're filing for bankruptcy. I think it's the Jazz are going to control their own broadcast and they're going to sell it through a streaming platform. So you'll be able to stream games through the Jazz's platform, which is going to be another revenue for teams. I wonder if that's going to really hurt, you know, the average person out there who's not able to afford all these, you know, you went from cord cutting now that you have to get this stream. A lot of people in cord cutting are realizing that bill is now going up into the $60, $70 range once again, depending on how much programming they want. I wonder if that's a sustainable model for NBA teams to own their own streaming rights or the NBA to own it and you have to stream it directly through their platforms. I mean, you know, we'll find out with DirecTV losing the Sunday ticket and going to YouTube television now. You can get the Sunday ticket without buying YouTube television, but it costs you an extra $100. But you still have to watch it through YouTube television. So like, I don't even know how all this is going to work, to be honest with
crazy.
You. This is really all right, gotten
we gotta take
convoluted.
A break. It was just so much easier before. 834 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 7378 0 3776. If you want to get in here. Right now I'm talking about HR&P. I'm talking about... Listen, if you've got any kind of issue with your payroll company, just go with ours. We love ours. We never have issues with them. They're so good. They'll customize the plan for us that was just for us as opposed to a cookie cutter, as opposed to, you know, and they're not too big that you can't call them at any time, whatever issue. We have access as employees. We have access to HR&P so that we can call with any issue that we might have. I've never done it. I don't know because I just don't need to. I haven't had to, but you can. And that's so good so that they're not running to you in the front office and saying, hey, what about this? Hey, what do we got in there? It's not like that happens all the time because HR&P has been perfect with us payroll wise. They've been perfect with us HR wise. They get us they give us options for all of our benefits packages. It's just so good. I'm telling you. And if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, then you got to go with ours because just call them and let them set up a meeting with you and customize a business plan that's perfect for you. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, or hrp.net. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter-patter.
Well, pitter-patter, let's get at her.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's time to rejoin the undisputed best sports talk show in Houston. It's Clearly John and Lance, except no substitutes.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here with us, you are more than welcome to do that. Our Astros just two games back at the break. It's fine. Actually, with the way. So the Houston Chronicle headline this morning says this. First half, a mixed bag. for our Houston Astros. Agree or disagree?
What's not fair about that?
Well, I think 9 games over .500 with the injuries that they have had, that they've sustained. Yeah, they've had – Bregman is struggling again. Jose Abreu. I mean, this is some of this is self-inflicted, but with wounds, with you know, you don't guys aren't performing up to their capabilities, and that was certainly the case with Jose Abreu. But he turned it around, right? Yeah. Kyle Tucker wasn't all that for much.
Jeremy Pena hasn't really taken Jeremy off Pena, like we had hoped.
Yeah, right. I mean, coming off the World Series MVP, but then he put him back in a two hole, and oh, guess what? He starts hitting again. What?
I think mixed bag is pretty fair. I mean, you've lost two pitchers,
That's it, though. I think this team maybe even has overachieved this year with all of the injury. You didn't have Jose Altuve for all that time. You lost Yordan for a big amount of this season. You've lost McCullers, Urquidy, Garcia. I mean, we're spoiled. This is with all of those injuries. I could see us being the San Diego Padres right now.
Well, but I do think there's a fair amount of good and bad. Yeah, I think they're not mutually. I think they are mutually exclusive. I think you can say it's been a mixed bag, and you can also say they've really maybe outperformed all the injuries they've had. I think that's you could potentially say that. But when you look at the play of Christian Javier, Hunter Brown, Jeremy Pena, Alex Bregman, there's some inconsistencies there. Obviously, Montero, there's inconsistencies that are not, you know, it has been a little disappointing. It's not a final comment, but when you say mixed bag, man, Dubon has been fantastic. Jelks has been a surprise. Yiner Diaz, you know, what a run he's had. J.P. France and the ability to still win enough games from the pitching staff despite all these injuries. But at the same time, you've got the things I just talked about. So I think there's some pros and there's some cons. And at the end of the day, they're still in position. Even with all these issues, they're in position. I mean, you know, you're going to have to – at some point, your pitching has to get healthy. And your star-level player in Christian Javier has to get back on track. If it doesn't happen, you won't not only will you not win the division, it may be hard to hang on for the rest of the year because at some point J.P. France is going to hit an innings wall. That's going to happen. He's going to hit a career high in innings this year. He's a rookie still.
I mean, as much as he's had to rely on this bullpen, I mean, this has been – but when you look – to me, this has been – the overall grade for this team is A-. We see teams that spent the payroll with the Mets, the Padres. That's been a disaster all season long. I mean, the Yankees, the Red Sox. We see teams that are just and we're right there in the hunt of it with all of these injuries to our biggest guys. I think this first half was not a mixed bag. I'm proud of these guys, the way that they fought and played and come back when we thought that there was, you know, they were going to get destroyed at different times, and they just stepped up and played great. Especially the Texas series, how well they played with Ronel Blanco and Shane Dubin starting games against the first place Rangers. I think it's been more than a mixed bag. I think it's been a pretty damn good, if you want to know the truth. What did you think, since you're the preeminent draft expert?
Yeah, I am, yep.
What did you think of the Astros draft yesterday?
Loved it.
You did?
What's
your thoughts on Bryce Matthews? What did you see in him on tape?
Explosive speed, twitchy pop. Has great range. You got to remember now, I actually follow the Astros account, and it's all tweeted, so I see all these highlight videos and all that stuff. So he looks fun. Looks like an exciting player. He's got a little pop. He's got speed. He was mashing last year. Like looks like a fun pick, to be honest with you.
Here's what CBS said about it.
Okay,
I mean, they got big write ups and extensive write ups about different guys. Not so much with Bryce Matthews. Bryce Matthews, shortstop, Nebraska, first pick, 28th overall for our Houston Astros. Matthews authored a 2020 season for the Cornhuskers and has a chance to stick at shortstop all the way up to the show. He didn't make our top 30 player cut despite that performance because of concerns about his approach.
Who?
That's yuck.
Bryce,
like that.
Bryce Whitmore?
Right. No, well, maybe. Bryce Matthews, shortstop. We'll see. That's funny that they take a short. Of course, a shortstop can usually play about anywhere. But you've got Jeremy Pena hopefully going to be there for years and years to come. But, yeah, usually a shortstop can make adjustments and go anywhere. And then where did you have Alonzo Treadwell, the pitcher from UCLA?
The big guy?
Okay. Go on.
Is he the one that's the big giant?
Is he a big – I don't – he must be because they only had two picks. So he must be the one that's a big giant. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 6'7", I think.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's a big old giant. I think he's got a plus fastball. I like his control around the outer portion of the zone.
Okay.
He's got three pitches primarily he relies on. And so I'd like to see him add a fourth. I think he's got a lot of grit and determination.
Okay.
He is a pitcher who I think has a repeatable process, which is going to be big for a guy who is 6'8" and long-limbed. You need to have that or you can get yourself in trouble. He was a consensus first-team freshman All-American, which is great. He was a Pac-12 All-Conference team player, which is fantastic. Two-time UCLA Director's Honor Roll, which tells me that
Smart
school
kid.
Is important. Yeah,
Smart
there's
kid.
A lot of really baseball character appears to be pretty good. He appeared in he was a training camp participant at the USCNT.
Where are you reading this? Where are you? Is this your?
Just
are these your notes on him?
These are some of my notes that I had.
Okay.
One thing of note that I thought was really cool was that he was ranked as the number 5 right-hand pitcher and the number 17 prospect overall coming out, which I thought was great. He was he missed his junior season due to an injury, so that's something to keep an eye on, an injury during his junior season. Now, this is a guy who has two sisters, Brooke and Paige, so say anything about whether or not – and he models his game after Tyler Glasnow. Who also looks like he's a Peaky Blinder.
Yeah,
so,
he does. He looks like Cillian
Murphy. I think
Murphy.
That's one thing. Now, in terms of who is he as a person, right? That's one of the things we like to get down to. I know he enjoys fishing. He enjoys going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also an avid golfer. He's somebody who really enjoys
golfing.
Oh,
I like him now.
Yeah, he's kind of a guy who can relax a little bit. As you see, beach, fishing, and golf, those are the big three of relaxing.
Listen, being a guy who loves golf, I'm not sure I'm crazy about that, if you want to know the truth. Golf takes a long time. You've got to practice. It's 5 hours out of your day at least. I mean, I just would rather guys who, if you're a good golfer, it means you're not really trying that hard at other stuff. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. Okay?
Yeah, that's potentially a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the things that you're going to have to really focus on, and I don't know how much attention you're putting on this, John, but for me, his 45 and a third innings to 43 hits, his inning pitch to hit ratio actually went down this year. It wasn't as good as last year. You know, the strikeout to walks, not great this year. It actually went from, it's about 4.5-1 this year. Last year, John, it was 10-1 strikeouts to walks. Something is his batting average against John 195 last year to 261 this year.
Your attention to your lack of attention to breaks really is
yeah,
more
but my attention
concerning
to detail
to me
with his scouting report is incredible.
Stuff. So I want to talk right now because we're in a break and have been for the last 6 minutes or so. I want to talk right now about Houston Powder Coaters.
Yeah.
HoustonPowderCoaters.com. 20 years of business experience. The operation is sensational. It's right there on the Hardy Toll Road, but you don't have to go there because they will pick up whatever it is that you need. Any kind of metal that you have. Do you have one of those old refrigerators that you want to keep? Do you have old signage, metal signs that say Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever? You know, old signs that you want to make them look new again. And you want to keep them, and they're rusted out. You're like, oh, I can't save this. Well, call there and see if you can save it, because Houston Powder Coaters, it's what they do every single day. biggest and best by volume. They will pick up and deliver whatever it is that you need. You can't take all your patio furniture. You don't have the ability to do that. That's not a worry. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you can hear us, they pretty much are going to be able to do it. If you have a business and you need Houston Powder Coaters to come to you, they will do that as well. They are fantastic, and the workmanship and what they're not going to quit until it is absolutely perfect for you. So if you're looking for a great way to save that patio furniture or car parts or whatever it is that you're looking to save, 281-676-3888 or Houston Powder Coaters, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
You've been enjoying ESPN 97.5. Time for you to tell a friend about this place.
What is this place?
What is this place?
What is this place?
What is this place?
Now back to two guys who would by now be recognized as common law married in at least 8 states, John and Lance, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Okay, welcome back here, honey. There's a couple of stories that we haven't gotten to. One is the Northwestern thing.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Why am I bringing it up?
Because no, I'm glad you're bringing this up. I want to talk about this too.
Yeah. They're okay. So the players describe one practice that the team calls running, in which players, primarily freshmen, are punished for mistakes during practices and games. The player claimed the subject of the hazing act would be restrained by a group of 8 to 10 upperclassmen who would then begin dry humping the player in a dark locker room.
Dressed in purge masks. Like the movie Purge.
Masks.
Right.
And apparently the guy who's being run is naked. So I just, and then they have another thing where
this is being alleged by a single player.
By a single player.
Uh-huh.
That players were forced to stand naked at the entrance to the showers and spin around. Those entering the showers would then have to basically rub up against a bare-naked man. The players who entered would then be sprayed with a hose, which the whistleblower described as extremely painful. He also said there was a Gatorade shake challenge in which players were forced to drink as many Gatorade shakes as they could in 10 minutes. There were also alleged instances where two naked freshmen were forced to take part in a quarterback-center snap exchange. Apparently, there was one player who said said that he refused to do it, and boy, did he pay for it. Listen, I've been on a lot of teams. I don't understand this now thing. I just don't understand where we're going here.
Is it factual?
The Northwestern players said, as every single unanimously, they said this didn't happen.
They supported Fitzgerald, saying he had no knowledge of the alleged incidents,
right,
and that the accusations from the former player were, quote, exaggerated and twisted. So, in other words, something obviously happened. They're saying it's exaggerated.
They also had a 6-month investigation in which they said, no, these claims are very believable, and actually they believe them to be true.
They believe some of them. If everything, well, this is why I want to say this, because my perspective on a lot of this stuff is a little altered after let me get to it. A current Northwestern player who asked to remain anonymous also told ESPN on Sunday the former player who made the hazing allegations informed him of a detailed plan with the sole objective to take down Fitzgerald. The current player on Sunday relayed a conversation he said he had early this year with the former player to Northwestern trustees and other influential university figures. He just kept emphasizing, yeah, it'll be okay. I'm just trying to get Coach Fitz fired. I don't think he ever acknowledged what he's saying is not true. It was just like, I might embellish or exaggerate to get Coach Fitz fired. He said his sole goal was to see Coach Fitz rot in hell. The truth is none of that stuff happened in our locker room, end quote. Now, here's what's important. If we take everything at face value, like so many people did for Matt Araiza, have you kept up with what has happened with Matt Araiza by any chance? Did you watch the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, not Leslie Visser. I'll have to think of who it
was. Leslie Stahl?
No, not Leslie Stahl. I'll think of who it was. She was with the NFL for a little bit. Blonde hair, has been around sports, NFL. But anyway, they interviewed Matt Araiza. Do you realize that not only were all charges dropped, there is video footage that contradicts what the girl said. There is audio footage of the AD saying, we cannot prosecute these guys, talking to the girl who made the claims. We cannot prosecute them because we have video and we have a bunch of proof that you were the aggressor and all of this, that, and the other. Like, it's not that nothing happened necessarily, but Matt Araiza had consensual sex with her and then left the party when all of the gang rape stuff was going on. Basically, everything that we heard about, the accusations, were false. They were false.
Yeah.
He has been acquitted of everything. But you know what they showed on this, on Real Sports? They showed Pat McAfee taking him to the woodshed, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, all these people annihilating Matt Araiza. I saw it online, on Twitter, left and right. Imagine if all of the stuff that you saw was basically character slander. This guy's not in the NFL now. It ended up.
Well,
that
I'm not slamming Pat Fitzgerald. Pat Fitzgerald has been an icon in the city of Chicago for years now. A player, and he's done unbelievable things in a really difficult situation at Northwestern to win in the Big Ten. They were 1-11 last year. They weren't any good. But Pat Fitzgerald has been a really, really good coach. I'm not slamming Pat Fitzgerald. As a matter of fact, well, actually, the president of the university says, I don't think our 2 weeks that we've given him off without pay is enough, and they're going to look at it, and they may give him even more.
Do you know how much his fine is? $200,000.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is this. If it was going on and he knew about it, then he deserves everything he gets. If it was going on and he didn't know about it, he's running a program that, you know what, he needs to know about it. He needs to know that was going on.
But I'm not saying he didn't do it, John. I'm just saying let's wait. I watched people on Twitter.
I'm not condemning. I didn't condemn the program.
I'm not saying this is
what the guy is accusing.
Right. I'm not saying you. You did say that I don't know what's going on. This stuff is creepy
and all
that.
Well, I do know this. I don't get it because I've never been in a locker room where there was any sexual tension. The Rangers minor league team did the towel thing, even Jalen Green, the video of him with his teammates, there's been multiple instances of stuff like this going on. Man, I can't believe if this happened that there weren't guys in that locker room that are going, what in the bleep are we doing in here? Okay? I can't believe, because we are not going to. And this says that it happened multiple times over years to freshmen, and this is how they would get punished for whatever they did on the field, that there would be clapping over their head if they made mistakes in the game or something, and they were going to get run. My goodness, if this is the case, you know what? I don't want to be. It was so funny, too. Over the weekend after this happened, there was one player who was going to go to some other team, and he decided he was going to go to Northwestern. And the first thing I thought of was, wow, you want to be in that locker room, really? And that's a shame that you would think. Do you want to be in that Northwestern locker room? If stuff like this was going on, Lance, and this is how they went about it at Northwestern, and Pat Fitzgerald, first of all, didn't know or knew and didn't do anything about it, then you know what? Everything that comes that comes at him or that program should come.
Absolutely.
Because it's crap. That's
absolutely
crap.
And what
you should
if,
not
what if
have
this
to be
was, what if this
in that
is one
kind
person,
of an atmosphere.
Okay, and now do the other part. What if this is one
happen,
person? Because you're going to tell me that I don't know what happened, and I'm going to wait for more information. I mean, they've done their investigation. They thought 2 weeks was sufficient. My guess, and that includes with this player's information, my guess is, you know, this player is releasing this now. They had an article, so I'm sure he went to – this guy's trying to get Pat Fitzgerald fired, obviously. Now, how much happened? I don't know. I know Northwestern has a head coach that they could fire, get out from under a $5.5 million contract after a one-win season, and they chose not to do that. My guess is they had the information there's some hazing there, but it may not be what is being described if someone's really trying to get him fired. I'm curious, though, where are all the other people coming out? Like, wouldn't you, if this has been going on, like you said, for all this time, isn't there going, we saw this with Deshaun Watson, right? Other people are going to step forward. Where's everyone stepping forward?
Right.
This
well, we got a break. On, we got a break here. We got a break here.
Okay.
There's more to talk about this. And it leads to something else, which is Larry Nassar. And we will talk about that on the other side. But first, we got to talk about QC Kinetics.
QC Kinetics. You know, QC Kinetics has meant a lot to my wife. It's meant a lot to a lot of people who have gone through chronic pain. If you've ever had to deal with chronic pain, my gosh, it is unbelievable. You can't, you have to find ways to manage the pain. And my dad, I wish I would have known about QC Kinetics before. He's dealt with chronic pain in his lower back for 40 years. Listen, that isn't something that you have to deal with for your entire life now. Many cases, you know, the shots and in some cases surgery a lot of times won't necessarily cure the issue, and shots is a temporary fix. You've got pain medicine, which can result in, you know, some really bad habits that can develop. And of course, when you have surgery, you're also going to have a bunch of downtime as you have physical therapy and your time missed away from work, the time that you're down. Well, you know, there's a better way, and it's QC Kinetics, regenerative restorative processes that are really life-changing. And they can take your chronic pain and reduce it to the level of you being able to be out and be active again, be mobile again. They work right at the joint. They take the body's healing power, they concentrate it, and they put it back into the joint. And the difference now is that you are going to experience fast relief that can be long-lasting. Make sure that you check in with QC Kinetics. There's 4 locations in the Houston area. And find how regenerative, restorative medicine can really change the way that you manage your pain. Go to QCKinetics.com or call 713-913-5285.
ESPN 97.5.com. Oh no, why are the brakes out?
Because I cut the brakes! Wild card, bitches!
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.